It says, and whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, all the while giving thanks through him to God the Father. You wives must submit to your husbands as it is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. And you husbands must love your wives and never treat them harshly. You children must always obey your parents, for it is what pleases the Lord. Fathers, don't aggravate your children. If you do, they will become discouraged and quit trying. You slaves must obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Obey them willingly because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work hard and cheerfully at whatever you do as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favorites who can get away with evil. You slave owners must be fair and just to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and thankful heart. Don't forget to pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to preach about his secret plan, that Christ is also for you Gentiles. This is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not Christians and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and effective so that you will have the right answer for everyone. And then what's the question on the bottom there? What difference does it make? All summer, we've been traveling through these two books and we've been hearing multiple different gospel texts. And I wonder, what difference does it make that we hear these readings, that we listen to fabulous preachers, if I must say, that we hear the word of the Lord, that we consider and wonder, what difference does it make? I think both of these texts for today, the message of the gospel is clear. To see ourselves as God sees us, precious, honored, and loved. And to live a life with no cultural boundaries or society's hierarchy or order, because none of that matters to God. Each one, each person is precious, honored, and loved. Our Colossians text for today is this household code where we have wives and children and slaves, and we have husbands, fathers, and masters with all of the power. And how does that all work together? Because it's very clear in the book of Colossians, as throughout the whole gospel, that Christ is for everyone. No matter your position in life, no matter your place, this free gift is given, this mystery of Christ is for everyone. And that each of us are given responsibility in our place in life to serve with love and respect as our guiding principles. Even in the midst of this household code or whatever culture we are living in, spiritual life, Christ, is the focal point. Now, that's been hard for people to grasp this week as we've talked about this text, and I've met with some other people, just some random folks, asking them what they think about this, and boy, got some good reactions. I had a wife who said, I will never submit to my husband. He beats me. Why would I submit to my husband any more than he wants me to? Good question. I had a child say, my parents never displayed any type of love. Why would I honor and obey when they don't even love me? I had people say, I am not a slave to anyone. And then I had other people say, everyone's a slave to something. So I wonder if we miss the point as we get caught up in what the scripture says. Because the whole letter leads to this end, that it does not matter what your position is in life or your social status or your job status, you are to live the mystery. You are to live this free gift of God's love for the world. You are to work out God's love in your family life, in your workplace, in your social structures, in your economic matters, whenever and wherever. Maybe it means getting to a safe place away from an abusive partner. Maybe it means reframing your thinking about your parents or your work system or whatever it is that you feel slave to. Because people watch and notice when we proclaim that we are Christians, does it really matter? Does it really make a difference? Does it make a difference? Does it matter when we see and we seize the opportunities at every moment to display Christ's love? Now, I know that Jesus imagines that it makes a difference. He imagines that people who follow him are expected to break through the barriers of honor or shame. Luke's gospel, at this point in the gospel, it is a continuation of the Sermon on the Plain for Luke, or the Sermon on the Mount, might be more familiar, about who is going to be blessed. And Jesus breaks all of those social arrangements. Imagine that. Imagine a Palestine wedding feast. Imagine the male guests reclining on the couches. And that center couch is the place of honor, chosen by wealth and power or office. Now imagine arriving late to a wedding and you have to sit at the least prestigious location. So Jesus gives two pieces of advice, I think. That first piece of advice is don't think too highly of yourself. Be a little modest. And that second piece of advice is for the host or hostess, well, host in that case, whoever is hosting the event, don't invite those people in a position that can do something for you. Instead, invite people that can't give anything in return. The culture of that day meant that patronage and status is everything. How you dress and present yourself is a clear marking of where and how you belong. So to upset that balance, Jesus says to mess things up and invite people who can't pay you back, who can't return the political behavior or generosity. Now, think about that radical statement. It is turning that system upside down. It's proclaiming something new. It's upsetting the system that people trusted and believed in, this order, that everyone had a place. And Jesus is saying, bring these down here, up here. He's upsetting the balance of, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. The Pope kind of did this recently. He invited 200 homeless people to the Vatican for dinner. Did you hear about that? That's kind of upsetting the system a little bit. It's kind of an administrative nightmare, I would guess. And not because it was a bad idea, but because it's requiring this institution to think differently. He moved and drove people to change their perspective by inviting the least of these. Now, it takes a lot of courage to do that. I mean, the Pope can do it. He's the Pope. I mean, come on. But for us, it takes a lot of courage to upset that system. I think about all of our young people going back to school. My niece up in Nebraska, she's been in school for 3 weeks. And so she called me on Sunday to talk about a lot of different things, and she very rarely calls, so I knew something was up. And she called to say she wanted to talk about school. Now, you have to remember, I'm from a town of 400 people. My niece has 15 people in her class. Right, so she should know everyone. Everyone knows everyone's status and where they stand when they walk into that school. But something happened over the summer, and some of the people in her class lost their status. And were being called multiple names that you can imagine as freshmen in high school. And my niece called to say, I just watched, and I participated in the first week of school. I said, and how did that go? Oh, I don't like it. So she talked about watching these people being chastised and just bullied, for lack of a better word, in her school. And she didn't know what to do about it, because she is actually one of the cool kids, God bless her. So she didn't know what to do in upsetting that system. And I said, well, what do you want to do? Well, I just don't want these people to feel like they're nothing, and that's what we all keep telling them they are. I said, well, what do you want to do? So she had to talk through what that's going to look like, because she's going to make a bold statement tomorrow, well, Tuesday, when she walks back into school to sit at the wrong place in the cafeteria, to take a stand against that bullying, to change that system. I feel for her. She has a challenge ahead of her on Tuesday. Because if you aren't one of the ex-kids, you can't sit at the cool table. Those cool people will get up and leave, or they just won't be there in the first place to make that statement. I mean, this goes for band, it goes in sports teams, it goes for the techies, it goes on the school bus. I mean, it happens everywhere. The school system is a status system, unfortunately. But it's not just in school. It's in our workplaces, in our book clubs, in the volunteering that we do, even in the church. It happens. So what difference does it make that we proclaim ourselves as Christian? That we stand and say, Christ's love is for everyone, regardless of your status or social position. What it is you do, how much you make, how you live. What difference does that make? To know that every individual is honored and precious and loved by our Creator, who has given this free gift to everybody. How do we take our faith seriously in our everyday lives? What does it look like for you when you leave this space today and in the coming week? Jesus challenges us to break down those social systems of what have you done for me lately and value others just because they are children of God. That's our challenge as people of the way. And it's going to take time to change. I'm not expecting miracles on Tuesday from my niece. I'm expecting baby steps. And I'm expecting phone calls and texts every day to find out what's going on. How might that be lived out in your life, knowing that you are honored, precious, and loved, as is everyone else around you? And thanks be to God for that.